Winspiration, the way to the essential. On UK Health Radio, Winspiration brings wisdom and information for an extraordinary future. Together, we can shape the world we want to live in. So let's get real and create the idea. Be extraordinary. Hello and welcome to another episode of Winspiration Radio, bringing information and wisdom for an extraordinary future. And today again, I'm so happy and grateful, Dr. Ken Best. We just recently talked, and if you missed that, I suggest you go there first to get even more benefit out of this session, because we ended there knowing that Dr. West, the performance specialist, the human potential specialist. He was in Egypt and working in the energy or on the energy in the pyramids. I guess most of us are familiar with whatever Hollywood films about mummies and everything, that you go in the pyramid in the chambers and there's such a killing energy and people come out crazy or sick. And Dr. West was there and even in other places before, and goes in there and can change the energy so that's not hurting people anymore. And I'm curious what is possible there to change this. We will not get the, I guess, the training to do it now, but I'm really curious. Thank you, Ken, to be with us again. And yeah, hope everything is fine for you, even if you went in these so-called killer energy. And yeah, please share what you do there. What kind of work is it? What you do there?
Right. Thanks for having me, Wolfgang. Yeah, the Egypt trip was very interesting. 12 people, ages 30 to 50, and all of them on the energy path. And you know, I find whenever I'm asked to go somewhere that there's nearly always a physical reason and a spiritual reason. So many times the physical reason is working with people, helping people, and the other is, you know, to try to harmonize disharmonies, whether the disharmonized energy or things that are blocked or not flowing or not working or whatever. And the trip to Egypt spun out of when I was working on the Bosnian pyramids, which is about 5 years ago. And Sam, the guy that discovered them and that looks after the Bosnian pyramids, he provided me with a guide and a translator. And the translator was a young woman that named Anita, and she grew up in the U.S., but she's from Bosnian parentage. And while we were there, she had a vision that we were going to take a group of people to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, whatever. And about 6 months ago, she phoned up and said, okay, I'm forming the tour, and let's work on it, and let's see who comes, whatever. So 12 people arrived, and with the intent of Christ consciousness or raising the consciousness. And for me, going into these things, it's always a puzzle. It's trying to figure out what's working, what's not working, and you know, it's a real exercise in following your guidance and, you know, discerning what you should do, how you should act or interact. You know, and the number one thing is to hold your consciousness and to hold in that observer, non-judgmental, questioning, curious state as to why are we here and what's going on. Because, you know, I went in with no preconceived ideas or no preconceived goal, just to see what the opportunity was and what we could possibly do. And, you know, there's the tour was arranged by a man named Muhammad, and Muhammad grew up at the base of the Great Pyramid of Giza. His family's lived there for generations, and he's a remarkable organizer, and the things he organized for us to do and the timing was remarkable. We hit the ground running. And, you know, the first thing we basically did was just to connect, you know, physically with the pyramids. And for me, that's I tap geometry, sacred geometry, into stone, into sites. And so we rode camels around the pyramids and tapped the pyramid. And then, you know, then the next day we went through the night and we went down to Luxor.
Mm-hmm.
And in Luxor, we ended up working. Well, we first went to the Valley of the Kings, which are tombs. And mm-hmm. basically, I got there. It was just to, you know, just harmonize. Let's find the points that need harmonization as to whether it's intent put there by humans or, you know, just the energetic field, just to harmonize whatever it is, not to change it into something else, just to harmonize what it is.
Again, and sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but for us normal people, as I like to understand a little bit more, can follow you better. What you're thinking, like Imbio said, also that in Europe you worked on energies. I don't get really exactly what is it, what you're doing, what you're feeling, and now you go to Egypt and feel the energy in the pyramids and now and Luxor. What is this actually? What you're really feeling there, and what needs to be changed, and why?
Well, it's you know, this is, you know, my perception. This is my, as humans, we all make up meaning all the time. And yeah. So this is a meaning that maybe I'm making up. Maybe there's some reality to it. Maybe not. Who knows? But, you know, I have found when you go into sites, you know, you have a feeling. Everybody does. Oh, I like this. I want to stay. No, I want to run away. You know, this feels dark and heavy, or this feels like really good. And, you know, I think maybe there are some people that are so blocked or shut down that they don't feel anything. But for the most part, I think people feel.
Yes, I think everybody can feel. If you go in a room and people are sad, you feel the sadness, or they're extremely happy, you feel that. And I really can relate to it. Like if in Germany we had old castles and there was really torturing people there. And if you go in the room where they tortured, where you get a strange energy. And I once was in Paris, around Notre Dame there, just where the Bartholomew night was. I even had the feeling I was walking through blood.
Right.
Yeah. Whoa. I really can relate to it. So that is the kind of energy you pick up there.
Right.
Like Luxor, the king, what is so, in, what I say, maybe bad? We thought, oh, that was a good time there, etc.
Well, you know, I think as humans, you know, our heart field goes out 10 feet in front of us, and you know, our strongest power is our intent, you know, and when people negative intent out, it appears to me that it stores in stone. It doesn't store in metal. It doesn't store in water. Water and metal can transmit it.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, so you go to places, and I think as humans, that's the greatest gift that we give each other is, you know, when we meet, if people are out of harmony, then we talk to them, calm them down, get them to breathe.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's people in the healing modalities or whatever, is trying to get people back into balance, back into harmony. And I think it's the same for sights, you know, where people have had thoughts or intent. So if your intent is, you know, is to murder or to sacrifice, or, you know, things that are not aligned with, you know, the, you know, if you talk about the Christ consciousness, that's a consciousness of forgiveness, mercy, kindness. And, you know, things that aren't aligned with that are, if that's stuck in the energy field there, then people in there are being affected by that. And I think it affects our behavior.
Sure. Yeah. And
so if you're going through, you know, whether it's an airport or a church or a school or a city square or something, that energy can affect you. And I think
it can affect. And we just simply in Germany, I know if I'm in Hamburg or I'm Munich, Frankfurt, totally different energies. Huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if it is possible for us to harmonize those disharmonious energies, I think it's worth the effort or worth, you know, trying. And that's why I was asked to go on this trip, was to try to harmonize and to, you know, if you want to call it raise or expand the consciousness, or, you know, we have all these words, and do we know what they mean? Probably not. And, you know, just trying to figure out, well, what is it we're supposed to do? And if we're, you know, working with the, you know, divine guidance, you know, we have a purpose here. And if, you know, if we're here to harmonize each other, and we're here, we have the ability to harmonize places, then why not? And so, you know, being in Egypt, I'm trying to figure out, what is this? You know, and I've started thinking, well, this is where the oldest collection of records, Cleopatra and the Library of Alexandria, the oldest records, and the hieroglyphs on the temples, in the tombs and but not in the pyramids, but in other places.
Can you read them somehow, or is this just an energy feeling?
Well, I believe that the hieroglyphics create geometry, and I think they create an energy field.
Mm-hmm.
And being there and working with in the temples, because the first temple that we were taken to was Karnak, and Karnak has these huge columns and many, many of them, but it has these five gateways in. And so whenever I enter the field, I'm trying to check and trying to figure out, well, if we're going to open this energy field, how do we do it? And for me, I use applied kinesiology to try to figure that out. And on the first one, we had opened the gates, those five big, they're square from the front with a big arched door in the middle, and from the side, they're shaped like an obelisk, I guess. And so we, I had to put the geometry in those, and then it opened the energy field. And then here are all these beautiful pillars that were, they're so big that, maybe I'm a tenth as tall as they are. And with all these hieroglyphics on them, they're huge, each segment of it probably weighs a ton. And it's like, how in the world did humans build this?
Mm.
And that was one of the things in Egypt, was that the information was very fluid. It was everyone's trying, making up their own version of how they think what could happen, the Egyptologists, most of them are Muslim, and if Muhammad says that the world is only 5,000 years old, then nothing can exist older than that. So then they put that timeline in their belief system, is imprinted over what could be. And, we all come with our own bias and our own culture to look at things. And when we opened it, it was, our guide said, okay, you need to go to this one small area for this private viewing. And off we go. I don't know what we're doing or what we're going on. I'm just trying to follow the guidance. And we get there, and they take us to this small room that, we're the only people allowed in, and private viewing. So there's a guard there that takes us and allows us in. And they, and inside is a statue about 6 foot tall, stone, of Sekhmet. And I really never really studied all of the deities. I actually prefer to call them deities rather than to call them gods. They're deities that represent different energies. And she was the energy of power and war. And so I just checked to see, how was her power on? Was it off? And I got that it was totally gone, totally off, dead. And so when the group decided to, they let us in there, and we sat in meditation, and there was some oming and a bit of ceremony done with our
energy. You do it also only by energy, or do you talk what we are going to do then?
No, just us being with our own, focusing on ourselves and our own energy, and not projecting out or not trying to do anything, but just to focus on that and to be one in that space. And in testing it, her energy went up to 99% of optimum.
Wow.
And all the work that I've done is that if you will tap the sacred geometry that I work with actually into the stone, then it went to 100%. Okay. We don't know what that does. Well, it has happened that one of the people on the trip, one of the women took a photo of the statue before.
Mm-hmm.
And then she took two photos afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, there are all these streaks of energy just going like mad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the amazing thing with our...
Is it like an aura photo?
No.
That's a normal photo.
It's maybe like an aura photo. It's more like moving orbs. Mm-hmm. The photos of orbs that people take, that they get on their cell phone. This was like that, except they were all streaks. They were streaks of light, and they were going all over the place, and many, many, many of them, and two different photos showing that same effect. And you're like, wow, okay, we feel it, but now we can take pictures of it. That's pretty interesting. And you know, so I'm kind of feeling in and testing around this, trying to figure out, well, what does this mean? I have no idea, you know. And what I got was that there were six deities, three male, three female, that lived in that complex. And that when they took the power away from Sekhmet, that, and, you know, I got that someone from the outside came, and I got they came from Persia. What does that mean? Maybe they were from the Zoroastrians, you know, someone that knew consciousness stuff enough to do something like that. I don't know. But, and, you know, you notice how, you know, I mean, through history, Egypt was really strong. And then at one point, it started to taper and decrease. And it's been on the decline for centuries now. And so it's, you know, it's just interesting to just see what could this be? Not going and saying, well, it has to be this. Yes, you listen to the Egyptologists and you hear their version or what's the accepted version at the university. And, you know, and then your inner reaction to it sometimes is, okay, that makes sense. And sometimes it's, now that does not feel right. That feels like they're making up something and it's some, because, you know, they won't talk about extraterrestrials or alien beings or anything else. So, okay, fine. I mean, it's, you know, they create their limitations and their structure and they're working with what they do the best they can. And we just do the same with us. And it was interesting. I think our Egyptologists learned more from us than we actually did from him. And so, you know, so we turned on six of these deities. And then the next temple we went to was Luxor. And we only had to go on the outside of Luxor to put the geometry. And then that gave the power, re-energized or reharmonized, whatever, two more deities. So we were up to eight. And then the next day we went north to, where the deity Sobek, he's the protector. He's about good and bad or good and evil. And what's interesting, his temple, we had to put the geometry down the middle of it between the good side and the bad side. You know, I start testing. The other people, there are people there that are psychic and have some psychic skills or some intuitive skills. And I just listen and we all work together and figure out, okay, no, this is what we had to do. And I got, no, we're not done. And I had to find there was a piece further behind. We got it all done. Next temple we went to, it's probably the most beautiful. It's a temple of Phila. And you go by a boat and, you know, it's a small boat. The boats are almost identical to the boats in the Jungle Cruise at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
But you're on the water, and the temple was moved up because of the Aswan Dam and the level of water. And so when they moved it, you know, I'm sure that it changed the geometry and it changed its connection to the earth. And and that's the temple dedicated mostly to Isis. But you start to see that these deities are all mixed. Like Isis is supposedly love, but she has Hathor and Sekhmet powers herself. That they're all have the ability to plug into the other entities, their deities. So, anyway, that one was interesting. And you know, we weren't there, but you know, some of the guidance that the women got was that they needed to cover their heads, so they had their heads kind of wrapped with turban-like things, and a couple of the guys had turban-like things. Well, when you walk in, the security for the temple is, you know, watching, and when they saw that, their red flags went off. Okay, here's a group of Sikh or something, some religious group that's coming in to do something, whatever. And you know, and here I'm there testing, okay, well, how do we open it? How do we find the strategic points to put the information in? Because if you can find the matrix holders and work with them, then okay, you put the energy in, and then you only have to do three or four or five places maybe, and sometimes one, and then you close it on the other side and so that it'll hold. But they're like these energetic puzzles that you open and then you work mm-hmm. on and get them 100% and then you close them. And one of the women with us, she got a vision of Isis, so she dropped to her knees. Well, this head of security just went nuts and was, you know, they were, when you're in those temples, don't touch anything, no singing, no praying, no kneeling, no, you know, nothing that looks like anything that has to do with, you know, Muslim religion whatsoever.
Is it just about the formal stuff, or also that they think you would change the energy?
No, I think it goes against their, you know, religious, you know,
rules.
Rules of worshiping.
Yeah, anywhere,
you know, Mecca and Allah, and you don't, you know, it goes with their limitations in their thinking.
Okay. Yeah.
So our guide had to go and talk to them. And before we left, they came and apologized for, you know, being quite rude and tough on us. But when you have 12 people, it was definitely like herding cats, because these people are all sensing energy and moving all over the place. And, you know, and each, what I found, the 12 of us were connected to a deity at one of the temples. And so I tried to connect with that person to see, what intuitive thought do you have? And they, you know, and the one at Isis, she, you know, the woman connected there, she said that she thought it needed to be sealed with a kiss. And I was like, okay, fine. We had two couples with us, and they got in the middle of the one little outside temple, and they had a kiss. Well, that didn't freak out our security trying to watch us all the way. And like I said, before they left, they came and apologized, and, you know, and but our tour guide spent as much time explaining to them, no, they're not praying. No, they're not. You know, they're just trying to experience one thing that they can. And so we finish at that temple, and then we go back to Luxor. And then, you know, the next day we get up and we drive 3 hours and we go to Dendara. And Dendara is this amazing big square fortress looking thing. And then I got that, okay, we had to open it at one point. And then we had to put the geometry on the outside four corners and the inside four corners of this huge, massive temple. And we went in, and this one is dedicated to the deity of Hathor, and she's the nurturing mother. And so they have rooms and things that are dedicated to birth and to the sky and to different things. And you know, and it's one that has the most color in the hieroglyphs of any. And when you're going around, but you know, you get this double standard of don't touch, don't sing, don't do anything. And then we were in this room that had Nut, and she's the deity of the sky. And one of the women with us started crying. And then one of the guides grabbed her and said, come with me, and took us down this stairway into this dark tunnel underneath the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine, let's go. And he took her up and put her hands on the wall, and then she just started sobbing. And then he shook her to, I don't know, to release, I don't know what. She didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on, but that's what happened, you know. And I'm trying to figure out, well, where do we need? And that was one of the inside corners of the building. So I got that taken care of. And then they showed us standing on this little step, and there's a square box, which is, they did the same. It's Sekhmet. There's this square box of stone, and you put your head in it, and you go, or make any sound, it just reverberates hugely. Mm-hmm. So we did that, you know. And so on one hand, they say, don't touch, don't do anything. And then when you go with the guards in the temple, then they'll put your hands on and let you touch things. And you know, they actually take your hands and make you touch things. And then they mm-hmm. show you where to make sounds and how to interact with the temples. And then when we came out, our guide was in panic. He thought maybe we had zipped into a different dimension and disappeared, and that he had lost us. And how is he going to explain these four people missing? Anyway, so we refine and we go, and, you know, and I ended up in the birth temple, and, you know, and I'm standing there, and, you know, and they're grabbing different people, and, you know, they're taking you, and you're putting your hands on the wall and doing different things. And it's like, okay. And and they made all of us put our hands on the penis, the sculptured relief penis of Osiris. And you're like, what is this doing? I have no idea what's going on. We have no idea. So I'm just trying to follow the, you know, what are we trying to do to harmonize it and interact with them as respectfully as possible and with our guide. And so, you know, we finished that experience, and then we had one more temple 3-hour drive to the next place, and they're all always stopping and eating. And it was interesting. You eat the same food for lunch and evening meal, lunch and dinner, twice a day, the same menu for 10 days. And then finally we got it to change it, but it's the same menu. You know, it's good, clean food, no sugar, you know, it's quite interesting. We always did that. But, So the final temple is the temple at Abydos.
And okay, Abydos, before we go into the final temple, and just allow me just to have a short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And Kim, before we go to the final temple, I just have a mind. It is that you had 12 people.
Yes.
12 is a special number.
Yes.
You had 12 disciples. So was this a kind of accident that you were just 12 people?
On one hand, you can call it an accident or a coincidence, or you can call it the divine order that, you know, we had the intent to go and to try to do this work to help. And it appeared the more we worked on that, we were bringing the power back to Egypt, turning on the deities. So each of the temples we went to, that deity got their power back. So Sobek got his.
And what is your idea on this? The power was somehow lost? Is this just because they set up the temple and let's say they give them power and this power, okay, this is for 500 years and then it's gone. So that's when you install it, or is something happening between all the tourists or whatever in the grave?
What I got was that, you know, they talk about the different, I've just gone blank. You know, they're the different periods of time. You know, the different kingdoms and the different things. And, you know, if you graph it or look at it, they were really strong and then they started to taper off. And I think at the time they taper off that someone came from Persia that knew how the system worked and knew how they created the geometry in the temples and created the power or empowered these deities. And they knew how to turn it off, block it, whatever. That's my guess at this point, but maybe I'm just making this up and it doesn't exist anymore. But then, you know, so I just go with it and let's see where it takes us and see what the outcome is and just wait, see and observe what happens. So we go to the last temple. It's for Osiris, which is, he's responsible for the transition to everlasting life. And that temple is the one that has the flower of life, the Lebensblumen, on the stone on a part of the temple that's outside.
Isn't it, man?
And that one, the paintings inside are still quite in good shape. There is some of them, you'll go into a room and you'll see, oh, someone came in and just stole the whole wall and took it to some museum someplace.
Wow.
And so you can see that the part of the geometry that they created has been removed,
which
I'm sure has helped to change
it. Yes, yeah, sure.
And I got that us putting the geometry back in the stone, that it regenerated anything that was stolen or broken or whatever. And so, you know, we do that, and then they arranged for us to be able to do meditation in one of the embalming room. And, you know, that was interesting how the people all sat in like couples, you know, because we basically were six men, six women. And, you know, you know, I didn't get any visions. Some people do or whatever, but it's like, I don't know. Did we do anything? I don't know, but okay. That's what we did. And I guess we all had to be there, and whatever happened, happened. And just, you know,
then I like to ask a question to these Lebensblume or the Blume des Lebens.
Yeah.
Because I just recently heard someone, because a lot of people have it in water carafen and so on or something and use it.
Jewelry. They were.
Yeah. And then someone told me, stop using it. I said, hey, but it's a good sign. It says, oh, yeah, originally, yes. But at the moment, so many so-called spiritual, whatever, everybody in tourist shops everywhere is used, and there is already a different energy on it. What is your take on it?
My take is that I think it was, you know, given, you know, it has an energy, it has a power. I think the way it's structured, that it actually closes the heart and doesn't open it. Uh-huh. But so on that hand, it does something and it doesn't do, and it gives you something and it takes away something, pretty much like everything, you know, nothing's all good, nothing's all bad.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe, you know, it was put there for us to figure out, okay, how do we evolve this to something mm-hmm. that does more?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been working on, to try to see, can we evolve something that does more? Because all the people wearing those, as the planet improved, mm-hmm. as their lives improved, as their consciousness shifted, I don't know.
Yeah.
By the behavior of, you know, the mm-hmm. humanity on the planet, it doesn't look like we've made much progress, or that we are making progress.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so we finished there, and 3 hours back into Luxor, spend an hour.
We don't need to talk about it. Was this over with the final temple, or just interrupted you?
That was the final temple.
Mm.
And it really made me think about, oh, wow, this is just like Christianity, and they were really focusing on, you know, eternal life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how do I get there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they even had the same concept that when you passed away, there was a scale, and they put your heart on one side and a feather on the other. And if the feather if the heart was lighter than the feather, then you got to go to the good side of the everlasting life. And if it was heavier, then you didn't do a good job, and that you had to go to a not so good place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's, you know, there was no real, you know, conflict. You start to see, oh, there are parallel lines here, maybe dressed up in a different way and expressed in a different way, but is it really that different? No. You know, they just didn't have they didn't have the symbol of the Christ, you know. You know, they were 4,000 years before the Christ came, and things have evolved since, and it was the energy changed, and it was time for the Christ to come. And so you wouldn't expect the Christ information to be there. So we haven't. So anyway, so that was the final temple that we did, and we returned to Luxor, and then we flew back to Cairo. You know, flying there was interesting because you can take water bottles. They know it's just water. You're drinking water. It's a desert, and that's not a problem. And no, you don't have to take your shoes off, and you don't have to, I don't know what I guess they're looking for weapons, but, you know, I'm used to traveling, and I don't have anything in my little handbag thing that I carry with me, my little backpack thing. And they just went nuts. I had 3 Swiss coins, which are fair size, in the bottom of it, and you would have thought I had a bomb. So I think the main thing they're looking for is, are you transporting antiquities? That's more important than them, for because it's, you know, they don't really have the terrorist concept or whatever there. So, you know, so and the other thing that's interesting is that the line, the queue for going through security, male and females are separated.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get in the wrong sex queue. You get herded to the right one. Yeah. And so I don't know what the gender neutral people are going to do if they go to visit. they're going to have to change one. Oh, they all get on the plane. But so we fly back to Cairo. staying in Giza again at Muhammad's place at the Pyramid Heights. And because when you have breakfast, you're on the rooftop and the pyramids are just right there. The pyramids and the Sphinx are just right in front of you. And which was a nice experience to have every day that you wake up to the pyramids. And no, that day they took us to this, the most confusing place we went. It's a king, and it's, they tell you that it's these huge granite sarcophagus coffins that weigh, I don't know how many tons, they're huge, that were made, they say they were made for bulls. You never found any bull, you know, disintegrated bull parts in there, but they said it was, you know, that they got it from the hieroglyphics on the outside of one. So you don't know, but it's just like they built this huge catacomb with these bulls. And it's like, man, how do you build and transport? It's mind boggles the size and the accuracy of making something that perfect, that big, that heavy. It's hard to get your mind around that a human did it.
Mm-hmm.
And did it in the time frames that they talk about. And, you know, so you don't know where, it's just like everything else. We're all making up stuff and we do the best we can. So we went to that, and then we went to Saqqara, and Saqqara is the stepped pyramid that underneath it has a whole city underneath it, but we didn't go down there. But it, that place was built for the king's birthday every year, the pharaoh's birthday. And, you know, that was interesting. And, you know, they did take us and we learned how to make papyrus, and we did go to the guy that worked with essential oils for 4 generations or more, I don't know. And he was the one that first started teaching Gary Young of Young Living about essential oils. And he gave us a song and dance, and he has oils for the chakras in the front and the spiritual chakras in the back. And, you know, that was all very interesting. So they took us to different places. They took us, you know, to keep the ladies happy shopping, and, you know, so that you have to learn how to play the barter system, and whatever price they give you, you cut it in half, drop 20 or 30% off of it, and that's about what you should pay. So you start below that and you haggle up to that point. And, you know, the group we were with, they were really good about keeping the people away from you, because, you know, they're not beggars like in some countries. They're just all there trying to sell you something. So the next day was the 6th of June, which was full moon, and they were going to take us to 2 other pyramids that day, and we just felt like, no, we need to rest, because we're going in. It's full moon. We're going in, and we went in, and we went into the, you know, the all 3 chambers in the Great Pyramid of Giza, of Cheops. And, you know, the first one, you go in and you're backing down, I believe it's 87 meters on a ramp, and mm-hmm. that you can't stand up straight. You're bent over, holding on to rails on either side of you, backing down this thing for 87 meters. And then you turn around, and then maybe you can stand up for a bit, and then you've got to bend over and walk for, I don't know, 20 meters or something, bent over at the waist. And then you can straighten up, and then you got to go down on your hands and knees for 10 meters to get into the room, which they say is a well, and they have a metal plate that covers where the water was. And they try to talk about how they pumped the water up and through it. And it does look like water ran, but it's like, how did they pump it up and what were they doing? And hard to understand what was actually happening in there. And so anyway, my crew, they wanted to do ceremony, and they used one of the new essential oils called golden water and on our feet. And, you know, we just, you know, had ceremony. And it's interesting because they tell you, you know, when you go in, they tell our guide, you can't do this, 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 and this. And he just tells them, and you know that we were going to do this, this, and this. So they tell him what not to, and he tells them what we're going to do. So everybody's quite open, but it's 2 different stories.
Mm-hmm.
So you get used to this fluid information, I think. And, or at least you get more comfortable with it, allowing it to happen, which I guess is tolerance. And so we do that room, and then you go back up back through the whole process back up, and then you go up steps, and then you walk bent over, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 meters or whatever. And, you know, and then you finally get into the chamber of the queen, and you're in these rooms. Everything that was there has been removed. There's no pictures or documentation of what might have been there, where it was. There's just these vacant caverns, and if you didn't have electricity and lights, you wouldn't, it'd just be darkness. And we figure out where to tap the energy there, and then we it was funny that one of the intuitives with us, because you know, the art group wanted to do, you know, oming and singing and ceremony and things, and they got that there were energetic beings there with us, whether they're the elders and the protectors of the site or what, we don't know. But anyways, she told me, they're saying, we just want the geometry. We don't want all this other stuff you're doing. Just give us what we want so we can do our work or whatever. So I don't know. And then you come out, same system. That one's more on the level. And then you go out and you go up to get into the king's chamber. So now you're going up a ramp like before, been over, and you're in there. And in there's this granite sarcophagus without a lid on it. And that our guide says to the people going, you know, we will be, because they says, you're not supposed to get in the sarcophagus. He says, you know, we'll be in there. And so people took their turn getting in, and then he would do make some toning and sounds on it. And I'm like, well, where's the energy point, the matrix holder? And it was on the back wall, which is really common for most places, that if you see something big and grand, the energy holder is, if you turn around and face the other way and go a bit, you'll find it. And we had put the geometry in there during the full moon as best, you know, what we needed to. And then we went down the ramps and went outside, and we have full moon. And did we do anything? Don't know. Did it feel any different? Don't know. Did the people feel any different? But in this process, nobody felt heavy, dark. No one went crazy. No one got really stressed. Everyone, and it may be because they were 12 together.
Yeah, but you just said you needed to rest. And the question is this work also tiring?
When I work, you know, with one or two people, I usually, in processing it or whatever it is my body's doing with it, I actually usually get really tired.
Mm-hmm.
In the early days, I would feel ill or whatever, but not anymore. Mm-hmm. Now I'd feel tired mostly. But because of the 12 people this time, I didn't have that much, you know, I did sleep at night. You know, I did make sure I got good sleep, but I wasn't overly exhausted. I wasn't overly tired. I was able to do everything that, you know, all the youngsters were doing. And we went to the Bent Pyramid, which is more difficult to get in, they told us. And they went and came out, and I stayed outside with the guide, and they said, nah, you'd have done it. It's fine. So the next one, the guide said, no, this one's too tough. You don't need to do it. And I'm going, yeah, I'm doing. So I did.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay. So before we go on, just let's make another short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So it seems you always could go on, go on, and go on, and it was not tiring.
Well, we could go on and on, and you know, I'm always testing, is the work complete? And I got that the work was 100% complete. Okay, fine. But also before we went, I got that after we finished with the full moon, that there was going to be something else we found we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And after we did it, I did find that we needed to seal it. So I had to get help to go and seal it in a, you know, you try to, you seal it in a place that it'd be really difficult to find. So we did that. Then it's like, okay, what? Then the next morning, you know, then we didn't know what was happening the next morning. They got us up, put us in two combi vans, and took us 6 hours through the Black Desert into the White Desert, almost to Libya.
Well,
and the White Desert is these huge monolithic structures of made out of it's calcium carbonate, and which I know repels negative energy. But these huge structures, the main one people take picture of, it looks like shaped like a mushroom, and next to it is a chicken. But some of them look like camels, some of them look like pharaoh's heads, and some of them look like birds and different elephants and animals. And it's just as that those huge monoliths erode, then they have these shapes. And so we had, there were Bedouins that cooked the evening meal for us, and we had, did like full moon ceremony with, some of the people on the tour do different kinds of things. And we did the cacao ceremony, and we did singing and different things in the full moon. Everybody had their own tent, and, we sat and ate Bedouin style, great food, under the full moon. And, the photos of it looked like snow. It's so cold. I was inside the two sleeping bags, and I had a heavy coat that I had to put around my head to keep from freezing my head. And so, we get up the next morning and we do our 6 hours back through the, we stop and see some of the volcanic formations in the Black Desert, take photos, and then go in back into, and when we get back into Cairo, it's thunder and lightning. Which it doesn't normally do this type of year, really, but it's thunder and lightning.
Responsible for it.
Could be, don't know. But what happened?
But the interesting question we have, because we have not too much more time, maybe another 5 minutes or so, but that is extremely interesting, what is happening there. Partly, if you dive in the past, you change something in the present.
Yes.
But first of all, what did it change with you, and what do you see with this kind of work is good for an extraordinary future? For example, a question, we know the Asian people have Feng Shui that helps. Maybe if in Hong Kong there was a building, a new building, the elevator didn't work, so they brought a guy with energy in, and suddenly the elevator works.
Right.
And I heard from Vienna, there was in the city a big construction place. They were digging a big hole, they wanted a big building, and it was awful. Everybody was fighting there. Nothing really worked. And then they brought someone in who works with energy, and they realized, there was whatever a few hundred years ago where there was really a battlefield, and this energy is still there. So he could clean this energy, and then they could build smooth. So what is from you, for you personally, the change, and what you can, with your work, see what we as humans or society could do to have a better, like you said, harmonized future?
All right. Well, one is that, the people that are clearing the negative energy, atrocities, whatever that's stored in places out, feng shui is using geometry, color, shape, placement. They're just changing the geometry to harmonize it. And that's, what I'm doing is just imprinting sacred geometry into places, and we see things shift and change. The earth and our environment affects us. And so, I think the more that we're, aware of it, but, it's a reflection of ourselves. Everything outside of us is a reflection of ourselves. And so, I think the main thing is for us to see what these reflections are, figure out how we're creating disharmony in ourselves, and then to figure out what's the geometry that you use to harmonize that. And that's what I've been researching for 15 years to if we can effectively do that, in a more time effective.
But it's also, this is a kind of, I wouldn't say science, but even wisdom and knowledge, which we should bring in kindergarten or at least in school. And we're talking now buildings. If you study to become an architect, you never hear about it.
That's the thing that we've had with science. That's one of the one of the fallacies, or one of the, I call it logic flaws of science, is if you can't measure it, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think that. You know, and even, you know, Pythagoras had his communities where the community and their philosophy was based on numbers and working with numbers.
Yes.
Whereas science took, okay, we'll accept the, you know, diameter of a circle and pi r squared and, you know, and the formulas, but not the philosophy. The philosophy they just have forgotten.
Yeah.
And, but I agree that, you know, it's, you know, people that know how to work with this improve, you know, I think make things better on the planet. And
you as a doctor now have a totally different way to treat people, because if you just go with a normal way and they're not in harmony, you can give them pills, everything, nothing will work.
Correct.
Yeah. No, you harmonize them first and there, a lot of improvement is possible.
Yes. And it's, you know, higher efficacy, lower risk, lower cost, it's the future. But, there are some market sectors that don't want
to be interested in yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
But super. Thank you so much. Very interesting. And also the last, what we talk now as a kind of view in the future, that there will be a totally different way also in medicine, helping people to harmonize first and looking for an extraordinary future. So let's harmonize us, the education better. And we see now, and here we have a pioneer, Dr. Ken West, who is harmonizing buildings, everything around. So there will be something good coming. And like we normally say, the best is yet to come. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you once again. And again, we just more kind of having a really abrupt ending, but looking forward to continue how we could bring more wisdom in the world like this, that it goes faster, that we all easier harmonized. Thank you very much, Ken. And I wish you all the best in Zurich. And I stay a little bit in South Africa, and then I join the Swiss community again.
Great.
Thank you. And
thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to another Winspiration episode, and stay tuned and come next week and share. Thank you. Have all a great life.
This was another episode of Winspiration, wisdom and information to support you getting out of illusions, false identifications, limiting beliefs. We all have the power and potential to be more, do more, have more, give more. Reality is what is possible in the universe, and the best is yet to come. If you want to dive deeper into possibilities of creating the extraordinary future, go to winspiration.global or to wolfgangsonnenberg.com. More information and some free downloads like the email program Dream Goals Reality or a copy of the book The Best Is Yet to Come can be found on the UK Health Radio website under the Listen on Demand and Presenters section. Join us again next week on the Winspiration Show for more wisdom and information to create your extraordinary future.